Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good to be here. And had a little excursion with my system at the wedding Saturday evening, Saturday night, and that went on down through Sunday, so I'll apologize for not being here, but it just was to be, I guess.
Long and, feel better, that's my answer.
But, you know, it's something, somewhere new, and somebody cooking stuff that's new to me, and the things that I eat are pretty mundane, I guess, but still, they've been with me all these years, and I just, I hate to change things up a whole lot, but, I changed up that a little bit, and that just didn't work for me really well. And I wanted to, and thinking about all this, and I had time to sit around and look at all the goings on, and I appreciated the work that was put into the wedding, because it was a kind of a country wedding, to say the least. And, they had, some horse-drawn carriages and so on that, you don't normally see out in, everyday life anymore, because these things are something that these folks have gathered up to make a show for the bride and groom and for the families that come to visit their established place. And it was unusual. I had been on the road that this thing butts into. I had been on one end of it at one time, and I had been on one end of it at the other time. But I had never been to this particular section in the center that where they've got this chapel thing now. And so I recognized the name of the road to start off with, because my sister-in-law's family lives just off of that road. There where you turn off Friendship, the community. And that's where my wife grew up, from being a small child up to maybe, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. And the other end is I worked with a guy, a U.S. Engine valve, and he wanted to clear off some of his backyard. And all these years after I built my house, I used wood basically to make my house warm. And so this guy lived on one end of the other end of this road that I had never been on. But when I started to go down his house, which was only about 3/10 of a mile, down that road, I said, oh, I've been on the other end of this road, but I've never been all the way through it. And, but I was down there at one time. We went fishing, illegally fishing, and I'll put it that way. Yeah. Because we had come in, you had use of a field camera, a field telephone that the Army put out, they could talk to each other with the Corps. And, they could go back and forth, and somebody said, well, you need to turn that into something that'll get catfish up. We had a friend could do that, so we done that. And And a few times we went down to the streams and threw two wires in and started cranking the fish up, and they did come up. Now, and I'm telling you, they came up in that stream down below there like I had never seen before. And so when we pulled up to make a turn to go into that place, I seen the bridge down there, and I said, oh, now I know where it all fits. And I shouldn't be telling on myself, but I did. And so that's whenever they was building Hartle Lake down there. So that become part of Hartle Lake, but it is part of Oconee County. So now I know I can go through there. I know where I can come out at. So I got that done. Now, another thing about where we stopped off last time in a study, and we had finished John 7 and started John 8, chapter 8. And we didn't get far into it till we ran out of time. And I wanted to go back and let's kind of resurface this thing again just a little bit, because there was something that had a little more verses of scripture in it that we probably needed to look at. And so I'm going to go back to chapter 8, verse 1. And pick up, and we had gone down through about verse 5 or 6, but we didn't get all this down as to where I would like for it to be, because I think we might have overlooked something. I'm not sure. So, John chapter 8, verse 1 says, and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. All these people were going home for the night. And Jesus had been in the temple area teaching. And he reluctantly went there because he knew they were looking for him. And he knew that his time was not quite yet. And he certainly didn't want to expand it out or bring it back that much, but so it doesn't say how he slept, but he said he went into the Mount of Olives. In verse 2, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Well, that was one of the things he wanted to do before his time was up, because every chance he got, he wanted to give them a little exploratory of what his job was and what it meant, how it should work out. And then in verse 3 it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they had set her in the midst of these people. Now, I don't know how many people were there, but there's room for a pretty large number of people. And this is where they help sometimes. And I don't know whether I told you or not, but I had some people down in Georgia that was interested whenever they would read the word Bema Seat and wanted to know what the Bema Seat was. And so we got to looking, and Caesar had built this place. And it was, I guess you could call it an open air place, because I'm not sure that it had a full covering, but it had a partial covering. And the bema seat was a kind of a throne that was built to judge people for their sinfulness or for what the shortcomings or for whatever it was, according to whichever one of the Caesars that sat there. And then it had a floor, and the floor was part dirt, but it had some mosaic stones built into it. And at the end of the stones, there was a chair for the person that was being looked into as to his conduct and so forth. Therefore, this man to sit there and answer these questions or give testimony of what he was doing. So this seat was a bema seat. It was something that man had created and Caesar had created, and it wasn't of God. Now, right there in the vicinity was, of course, was the temple. And sometimes it was in good shape. Other times it wasn't, because people would come and they knew there was a bunch of gold and stuff in there, and they would try to get in it. And between the temple and Jerusalem, there was a castle there that Paul had a lot of trouble with the people with. And when he was there and when he was teaching, and they was after Paul to do him in. And so evidently it would hold 1,000 soldiers, because this is basically another part of that area that they needed up to 1,000 people to protect Jerusalem and the area around the temple. And so they was centurions there, and each one of those men had 100 people under him. Well, that seemed like it'd be enough, but evidently sometimes it wasn't. And people would come and go and try to get all this in. And when Paul went there to teach, he didn't have a good time of it. And they took him in. They took him under their rule. And so not only did Paul deal with the bema seat a little bit, but also the Son of God did the same thing. Verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken, or having been taken, in the Greek word is in adultery, and set her in the midst, and said unto him, Christ, her teacher, or master, or whatever they wanted to call it. But he would answer to these names. And they said unto him, and will it say, Master, the woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. And that was autophoros, means self-detected. She was having a situation with this man, and she was already married. And she was having a situation with this man that these people could hear going on, and so they went in and took her to be able to put her before Christ and try to see what he would say about this. And it says in verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such be stoned. And what, but what sayest thou? So they ask him, okay, what do you say about it? Moses said, taken in adultery, she needs to be stoned. Well, they're trying to get something on the Son of God who knows everything. How smart are they, you think?
Not smarter than me.
I don't think they're smart enough to do it. But he knew. Whenever they brought her in and set her down there, he knew the score. He knew what the bang was trying to become. Here. Okay. So let's look at verse 6. And they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote with his finger on the ground as though he heard them not. Now this is 5 and 6. We just read what it said. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. Well, that's what they brought her in on. And they asked him, well, what do you say about it? Well, Moses, in the notes there at 5, commanded stoning. This law refers only to a betrothed damsel. Deuteronomy 22:24, and to show the Lord knew their thoughts and knew also this was another man's wife. He complied with the law prescribed in such a case in Numbers 5:11-31. Now this thing in verse 6 is dealing with a Nazarite vow. And you know, we found that, you know, when Paul, left to go to Rome, he took a Nazarite vow. Well, what in all does that entail? But it entails two things. You're looking at a thing in Numbers. It comes first in Scripture, and it's part of the law of Hammurabi. And I don't know if I pronounced that proper, but nevertheless, that's how that one come out. But verse 6, Numbers 5:11-31, which left the punishment with God. And this they said, tempting him in verse 6, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, literally in the dust of the earth. And if you want to look at it, that it's the dust of the word G.
Sure.
In the Greek, in G-E means earth. Okay, and Appendix 124:4 will give you that, as though he heard them not. And the ellipse of this is wrongly supplied. It was not from inattention, but to call their attention to the fact that the case was such as required the fulfillment of Numbers 5 and not Deuteronomy 22. Let me go back to verse 6 and look at the tempting here. The tempting is testing. So they were testing Christ. The temptation was in the word such. And of the two classes, they mentioned the punishment without defining what it was, full stop. For the one in Deuteronomy 22, it says, the 24a version, the death was stoning, but in the case of a wife, the punishment was not stoning, but required, what was a requirement with God. That in order that the word henna on or into the word east. Appendage 104:6 was where we pick up the dust of the earth. So he bent over and he got out from the stones, the mosaic stones, and he wrote with his finger on the ground. Just like he didn't, they hadn't said anything to him. So he was setting up the little deal to show how stupid they were. Because one thing describes one thing, and of course the words and numbers describes something else. And it's a ritual that deals with the guy that's involved and dealing, of course, with the woman that's involved. And one can be a stoning. And this stoning will kill both the man involved and the woman involved, but it has to be in a certain situation. And that's where we get the word such as, because the such has to take place, or it's not that, then it's something else. And God deals with it in another way. So I want to go back, and let's go back and look for a little bit at the numbers. And the numbers come first. And in number 5, turn with me to chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 11. Numbers chapter 5, verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man, he will have carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and he and be kept close, and she being defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner. So they took her illegally from what she was doing, and it was not right with God that she or it was involved with that. But there's problems with this either way you look at it. And the spirit of jealousy came upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, full stop. Or if the spirit of jealousy come against him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, full stop, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal, and shall pour no oil upon it, nor frankincense thereon. For it is an offering of jealousy, an offering, a memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord, and the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it in the water. Now, the tabernacle was the folded-up church that they carried around with them. So it never had a floor like the floor that they've had, that they've got here. Because Caesar made sure that this floor he was on showed the kingly thing that they were putting forth. So the dust of the earth come from the ground, from the floor of the tabernacle. We don't want to forget that.
Yeah, that's significant.
Because, so there was no tabernacle there. So when Christ got down on his knees and wrote in the dust of the earth, that was not tabernacle dust, but it survived. Okay. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hand, which is the jealous offering, and the priest shall have in his hands the bitter water that causes the curse. Okay, so that's what the ephod of meal was, the bitterness of the herbs was the bitter that was required for this thing for a woman.
And, yeah.
Okay. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman, if no man hath laid with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that caused the curse. So, evidently, this was prescribed by the law of Hammurabi. This was part of the old law that I can't tell you where it came from because I don't have that knowledge. I don't know. And it says this. The spirit of, wait a minute. Here we go in verse 20. Of Numbers 5. But if thou had gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee besides thine husband, full stop. Then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing, and the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. Now, have you ever thought about that for a little bit? Part of all this thing here with a woman lying with someone else except her husband, that is against the will of God. And she has brought this ephod or this whatever this thing is that holds this herb. You gotta give it to her, and it is going to make her thigh right. What's in a thigh? In a woman, it is that that she has that can start or cause new life. Or it is another part of the thigh. It does away with your excrements that your body has went through and has possessed and given you life. And same thing with man. But with the man, it's the same thing. Within his thigh lies the vessel that can create life by fertilizing an egg. And it also has the instruments in there to take away what he needs, because if God is going to have any part of this, that's not to be inside of him anywhere. Because if God has come and is going to deal with this, then he's not going to walk over a pile of crap. Do it, because that's sin. Because that's not what God made. That's what man made. And the same thing with a woman. Now think about this a minute. If a woman's thigh is going to rot, she can't have a child. And she's not going to last very long. Is that what we call HIV? It's written in God's word that there's nothing new under the sun. But yet we know people, or know of people, that have had it and come up with some things that they have to take medicine for at least every other month in order to stay alive. Well, if part of your thighs are gone, if that part of a being has gotten that, then why now is there something there that they can do in this day and age to get out of that? Remember, we're in the New Testament. This is not coming Robbie's tent. This is later stuff. God, when he made the agreements in the Old Testament, he thought that'd be all he'd need, but it wasn't that. It got to be. They didn't believe it. And so when they didn't believe it, the curse could fall upon them. And it could be death. Certainly could be death. Let's look at 22. Or 20, yeah, 22. And this water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowels and make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that caused the curse, and the water that caused the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Then the priest shall take the jealous offering out of the woman's hand and shall wave the offering before the Lord and offer it upon the altar. And this is not the Bema seat. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he had made her to drink the water, Then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that caused the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thighs shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free and shall conceive seed. And this is the law of justice, which a woman goeth aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled. And when the spirit of jealousy cometh upon him, and he be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her this law, then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. And so this is not all of it, but in this Numbers here, if you want to read on through, it gives you the situation about a Nazarite vow. And a Nazarite means one that is alone, not with someone else, but one that is alone. And so these things take place. And can take place with both parties. Both parties can be stoned, and both parties can die from this curse. Okay. What's that got to do with Deuteronomy 22? Okay, Deuteronomy 22. Turn with me there. We're going to start verse 23. Or 22, I'm sorry. Well, let's go back to 18. 22:18, talking about let's go back to 17. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughters made, and yet these are the tokens of thy daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Now this is someone that, has been taken, and from a city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immense him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all of his days. But if this thing be true, and the token of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones so that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house, so shall thou put evil away from among you. And if a man be found living with a woman married to another husband, then they shall both of them die, both man that lay with the woman and the woman that shall thou put away evil from Israel. If the damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband and a man find her in the city and lie with her, that you shall bring her both out into the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones that they die, the damsel, because she cried that being in the city, and the man because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel that shall do nothing, there is in the damsel no sin worthy of death, for as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there were none to save her. So if a man had a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, and he may not put her away all of his days. So this goes back to the situation as Ronnie and I were talking a while back. And I'm going to read verse 30 here, and it says, a man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. So that was where one of the 12 did that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was found out about it. And not only that, but if you sell one of your brothers into slavery, that's a bad situation too. So there's a lot of things here that goes on there that God doesn't put up with. And there's a way out for some of it, and some of it there's not a way out of. And the ones that there's not a way out of, I think, would be what we would maybe consider a sin that you live with the rest of your life if you become someone that did a sinful wrong other than the normal way it should have been done. And I think we call that HIV. You may not agree with it. That's your privilege. But when you talk about putting up something and going before a priest, and he puts her in a group of people, and they come to find out that's a true thing, and they make her drink this, and it says that her bowels is going to rot. She's no good to anybody else as far as being a wife, mother, or even a woman. And so there's problems there where she can't go to meetings or can't go to the temple, or can't go in a temple because she has been banned from that. Man the same way. And so, but you see, nowadays, you got these, they've come up with these things where people can supposedly live some sort of a life. I don't know how good or bad it is, but, it's built in that if it's, in the Old Testament, if it was done that way, these people were going to pay the price. Nowadays, I'm not so sure that every other month you can get one pill, take one pill, and continue living on. But you may not be able to have children because this HIV goes in. The things of it can go from one person to another person. And I got to thinking about that. I said, well, maybe that's the reason. It said that over in the scriptures where there's no new thing in the sun. God doesn't have to renew or doesn't have to come up, and he can let something be dormant. That's kind of like leprosy. You know, you don't hear much about leprosy anymore. But yes, it can come back.
Doesn't mean it's completely gone.
Just about anything can come back that God didn't create as something to satisfy his desires and thoughts concerning mankind. And if it's not that way, that's the reason when Eve dealt with Satan in the Garden of Eden, and she didn't know what to do. I don't think God had ever talked with Eve, talked with Adam, but not Eve, because Eve was supposed to get her message from her husband. And so she didn't do it. She got her message from Satan, which can change his way of doing things. I mean, he can change, he can morph himself into something else. And so I think he did that. And I think Adam was privy to it. And I think Adam saw it going on. I think Satan said, okay, it's your turn. And that's when enmity was put between the two seeds, Cain and Abel. Because as Eve was pregnant with twins, the enmity was already there. The sinfulness of all this was there, and God never did tell them to go and to have children to take care of the rest of the earth. He didn't tell them that, but when the vow was taken and the thing was given and the people had kids or children, he says, go. And I lose these people to work the earth. So that's how they had to do it. They had to work the earth. God didn't give them everything they wanted, but, and so I felt it was kind of important that we go back and we look at these two things before we get any deeper into this, because if we get far enough along in the book of John, we're going to go back to the well. when the water got troubled, that's where Jesus got into this problem with these people. He says, take up your bed, go home. Well, he got back down there, and here was a man that was blind. And the reason that I bring this up is this. We had questions about whether it was more important to see something than it was to hear something. But this blind man that Jesus went back down there, he was there. He might have been there when he went to the guy that had been there for 38 years. I don't know. But he spit on the ground. He spit where they was water present in the pool. But it had to come from him. And he made clay from the dust of the earth. And he put it on this man's eyes because the man couldn't see. Even if his eyes were open, they were no good to him. So the only thing he could do was to hear. Hearing comes reading the Word of God or have it read to you. And so when God healed him, the clay come off and he could see. Where did he go? He went to tell others and to show what this man could do for him. And so he went right back to the same place and confronted them, not really at the exact same way, but he did it in a way that they could not stand it any longer. They had to get him whether or not he could be God or not. They had to try. And so here we are. Going toward that particular thing with the understanding that they didn't have him yet. And he went there and the man got his sight back. But yet he heard it to a point to where he was able to get his sight back. And to hear also. And so that's another thing that we realize that God's great graciousness and the way that God does things is always a way that satisfies God or he wouldn't do it. He would not do it if he did. Satisfy him in what he expected out of his son and others to carry this message on and on and on and on to others. And so that's what I've got for tonight, I guess.
Very good.
So, I wanted to do this before I went any further, and we'll go back and pick it up.
Well, good to at least go back and look at what the law had to say about those, the whole situation. And the more you read, the more you see that what those guys did, it wasn't correct in any case. No. I can't find one case where it matches up.
Well,
where they did everything they were supposed to do.
He told the woman.
Where are you accused?
He said, where did the man go?
Yeah.
There's nobody here. He says, you go. Do not do this again.
Yeah, neither do I condemn. Yeah.
He didn't say I cleansed you.
Yeah.
That fact.
He said, go and sin no more.
Go and sin no more.
Yeah.
But the fact is, she still hasn't sent women, and I'm sure she got compensated. Go and send no more.
Amen. Good study, Pop.
That's what we got.